Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Josh Hicks and I talk with Steve Robinson. He's the gubernatorial transition director. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Aaron Johnson, Bill Bilyeu, and Jill Derby. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I have never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome Steve Robinson in his new role as gubernatorial transition director. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Explain exactly, now, who do you work for? Do you work for Governor Gibbons? Do you work for Governor-elect Sandoval? Do you work for the state? Who are you actually working for?
I work for a lot of people, but primarily I work for Governor Gibbons. He made the offer some time ago, 3 or 4 months ago, and saw that the state was in an extraordinary situation, primarily financially. Wanted to know that the transition would go well and smoothly. Asked me about my interest, and then I checked with some people really in both camps, with Sandoval camp and the Rory Reid camp, to see if I'd be acceptable to them, because I knew I'd be working with them. And given that, I said yes, I'd help as best I could.
Now, what's the difference between you, for example, and the chief of staff elect, shall we say?
Well, Mrs. Gansert and I, Heidi Gansert and I, work together on a daily, sometimes hourly basis. I'm on the inside of the government. She's still on the outside, but my primary job is to get her together and the new folks together with the cabinet, the agency heads, process the budget, get them up to speed, so that January 3rd they walk in and take over the keys to the governor's office, and they're ready to go.
Steve, you mentioned Heidi, and Governor-elect Sandoval's been applauded for some very good picks to his staff. How has it been working with some of these staff members? What experiences are they bringing to the table that's helping with the transition, and how is that all going?
I think Heidi and Dale Urquiaga bring extraordinary talent to the job. their experiences, Dale with the Secretary of State's office, and of course Heidi's legislative experience, probably right now are the best combination I've seen in some time. But also, you know, the governor-elect, I've been very impressed with his approach to all this. Very judicious guy, which might be expected, very deliberative. Brian Sandoval asks very hard questions of the agency heads, the cabinet heads, that I've seen in deliberations. So it's a good mix. It's a team that I've seen challenge each other.
In what ways?
Well, I think assumptions and presumptions, like about the budget. Should we do this or should we do that? And the governor-elect will come back and say and ask very tough questions of his staff and of the cabinet members. What experts say is not necessarily accepted by the governor-elect.
I've said on the program many times that I believe that there is a huge difference between running for an office and actually serving in that office. Are you seeing a reality-based look at what's going on? Because, you know, a lot of things are said in campaigns that just really don't mean anything in the real world.
Well, certainly there is no backing away from the basic tenets of what Brian Sandoval ran on. No due taxes, balanced budget, reset to 07 as the target number. But certainly being governor is different than almost any job I've ever observed and found. For Governor Gibbons, it was going from the Congress of the United States to the governor's office, and I know it was a revelation to him and his staff and how different it was. Brian Sandoval, of course, being Attorney General, saw it a little closer, but being Attorney General and Governor is difference of night and day. The difference here, I think, is that he has this 60-day period after the election where the transition, the government is really open to him and his folks to get up to speed so they can really take the reins January 3rd.
Steve, you mentioned that Governor Alex Sandoval is talking to agency heads. Can you walk us through a little bit about what those are like? Are those interviews to talk about, to get to know the agency heads, or they get to know what the agency is doing? Are they to find out what the agency's budget is like, or is it really all of the above?
It is all of the above, but everything is centered on the budget. These people are being asked, really through Governor Gibbons, for Governor-elect Sandoval, to do extraordinary things with their budget, make sacrifices that a couple years ago would be unheard of. So that's really the challenge. And I've seen the governor-elect ask the agency heads and the cabinet heads, you need to think, to use an overused term, you need to think out of the box. We need to not only, you know, the word reset has been used a lot about going back to 07, but it's really a reset. What he's asking them to do is reset how we look at state government and what state government does. And he's asking those agency heads, you need to think about your job, your agency, what it does, and maybe what it should not do in the future.
All right, let's take a break. More with Steve Robinson when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Attention diabetics, if you've taken the diabetes drug Avandia, listen carefully.
If a member of your family has suffered a heart attack, stroke, or even died while taking Avandia, call the attorney Greg Jones right now.
If you or a loved one have taken this drug and were injured, you may be entitled to financial compensation.
For a free legal consultation, call 800-595-6139.
You don't owe us anything unless we're successful.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen. Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number. Let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating a tax settlement. Call this number or go to tax10000.com.
Urgent means if you have good credit now and a good credit history, you can qualify for a low fixed rate 30-year refinance loan from Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They turned my good credit into a great rate. Thank you, Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They came through, like they said, in less than 15 minutes.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Call us now for your low fixed rate loan.
Call 1-800-604-1585.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Robinson. He's the Gubernatorial Transition Director.
Steve, we've been talking a little bit about agency heads, but let's talk a little bit about the governor-elect's new staff. Some of the staff has been named so far. It's been something that over time more and more people are being named. Are you in a position where you can say, are there going to be more staff coming in? Are there going to be announcements? Every governor fills out his staff differently, and is there an organizational chart that's kind of been put together for the governor-elect staff?
I don't know if there's a chart being put together, but he continues to see and interview cabinet heads, and that will continue into next week. I think this week he made some additional announcements about a deputy chief of staff, press secretary, but they'll be happening over the next 2 weeks or so, and I would suspect by that time, around the first week in December, the government, at least at the highest levels, will be pretty much public.
Let's talk about the budget, because, you know, in every case, the first budget a new governor puts together, it has to be based upon what the previous governor has done. And there's not a lot of wiggle room, is there?
Well, I don't think that's the way it's happening this time around. Because remember what Governor Gibbons said, we'll operate, he said, I want a budget to give to the next guy without raising taxes and balanced. And that means...
Which is the law, of course.
Well, true. But what I'm saying is, though, that means that the figure we're dealing with, the Economic Forum coming up in December and every indication we have, is pretty much what the 07 spending level was. So that, you know, whether it's Governor Gibbons or Governor Sandoval or anybody else that's coming in, that's the reality of the numbers.
One of the things that the Gibbons administration was trying to do was, in addition to preparing the regular budget, they also had this priority-based budget. Is that still being looked at?
It is. Andrew Klinger, the budget director, is really presenting a different kind of budget for the governor-elect and then to the legislature. And it should be much easier to make prioritizations on, rather than the new governor and the legislature, you know, getting a budget that's a foot thick and going through it line by line. This should give the decision makers, the new governor and the legislature, I won't say an easier choice to make, but it'll be more understandable and smaller in volume.
So are we really engaging in zero-based budgeting here, or are we kind of doing it from the other way and looking at the priorities and then deciding how to fund it?
I think we're closer to zero-based budgeting than we ever have, in my experience anyway. And that doesn't mean that everybody goes back to zero, but that's pretty... I've seen the questions asked by the budget office and the governor-elect, and there's no presumption necessarily that some programs will continue at all. they're really having to prove their worth.
You know, the discussion has been, obviously, for the last few weeks that there are a lot of organizations that should be very concerned about what's coming up. The Clark County School District, Southern Nevada Water Authority, Las Vegas Visitor and Convention Authority, the cities, the counties. Is that where the administration is looking for the money?
Well, I think when you look at the pie of the expenditures of for state government and for local governments, what the taxpayer revenue that comes in, you see that personnel is the bulk of that expenditure, whether it's on the local level for teachers or at the state level for state employees. And it's certainly not going to be my choice. But I think before it's over, some look will have to be made at salaries and benefits at the state level and the local level. And I look, some of my best friends are state employees. And I know they've given extraordinarily up to this point. But I think, as Governor Sandoval has said, there's going to be shared sacrifice probably from public employees all over the state.
The budget, is what we've been talking about, is obviously a big policy piece of this administration, and another piece of that that's related to that are some of the veto overrides that are going to be coming up at the start of the next session. I think there were five or six vetoes at the end of last session that will be the first order of business for this legislature. Is the transition addressing that, and how the governor-elect may choose to take a position or not take a position on those veto overrides from the Gibbons administration?
Yeah, the new crew has asked for an evaluation of those, and the legal counsel in Governor Gibbons' office is preparing that so that they be able to make a selection first thing. Also, executive orders that have been passed during the last several years, to review those to see if they're appropriate.
Your former boss, Pete Ernott, was chief of staff to Governor Gwynn. He was an active supporter of Brian Sandoval on the campaign. Is he taking any kind of hands-on role in this transition and advising the governor?
You know, I haven't seen it. My principal relationship is with the folks that Brian Sandoval has named, Heidi Gansert, Dale Urquiaga, those folks. They're really the people that are interacting with government. Certainly Pete knows Brian Sandoval and advises and advised during the campaign and out, but I really see this new crew that he's appointed running the show.
And that's where we have to leave it. We thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for your service to the state. We appreciate it in these tough times.
Thanks, Dan.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Join us for a surprise tribute dinner in honor of Chef Paul Aboud, benefiting the Greenhouse Project. The 7-course dinner honoring Chef Aboud will be held at the El Dorado Hotel and Casino on Sunday, November 21st at 5 p.m. The dinner with wine pairings will be created by all the chefs who have trained under Paul. Tickets are available at Adele's, the Stonehouse Cafe, Lulu's, the Cracker Box, Silver Peak Brewery, and Jay's Old Town Bistro. For more information, log on to CarsonCityGreenhouse.org.
Disgraced U.S. Senator John Ensign says he'll run for re-election in 2012. His would-be opponents smell blood in the water. Is Congressman Dean Heller among them? We'll ask him about that and much more on the next Face to Face.
For more than three decades, the Jefferson Award has honored outstanding individuals who have donated their time and service to make their communities a better place. News 4 and Wells Fargo are giving these unsung heroes the recognition they deserve. To nominate an outstanding Jefferson Award candidate, write us here at News 4 or visit our website at mynews4.com. Watch for the Jefferson Awards the second Wednesday of every month, News 4 HD, where news comes first.
Now, save up to 30% off our re-revolutionized lease carpet at Carpet One Floor and Home.
Life means changing. It's time for renovating. Time to find how great your floors can be.
Yes, save up to 30% on all lease carpet now. All colors and styles.
Plus, buy now and take advantage of great financing. Shop your way in-store, online, or at home. Giant Carpet One, the one store for your perfect floor.
The News 4 iPhone app. You can get up-to-the-minute headlines, check the weather, watch featured stories, or even whole newscasts. Just search KRNV in the App Store. Don't have an iPhone? Check out My News 4 Mobile.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Bill Bilyeu is here, the former Speaker of the Nevada State Assembly, Jill Dillery, the Democratic Party, and Orrin Johnson, State Chairman of the Nevada Federation of Young Republicans. Your thoughts on our interview with Steve Robinson?
Well, Steve, I thought it's going to be an interesting transition. It's Steve's very talented, and Brian Sandoval's a pretty smart guy, and I think it's going to be a fairly smooth transition.
Do you think that people are going to be surprised at the difference between the campaigner, Brian Sandoval, and the governor, Brian Sandoval?
Well, I hope so. You know, because he has it, he'll work across lines, bring people together, and I think everybody wants that. You know, campaigns by their very nature are partisan and not reaching across the aisle, but I'm very optimistic about that.
Your thoughts?
I actually think the campaign was a picture of competence, and that's what everybody's looking for, is competence in Carson City, all across the board. I think that he's already going to stick with
all of his promises. It wasn't a campaign of
ugliness? It wasn't a campaign of...
Really?
I mean, certainly there's ugliness there. It's a campaign, it's a political campaign, but...
The competence part is the fact that Sandoval won.
It was a competent, well-run campaign. There was a lot of clash shown, especially at the end of the campaign. The transition itself has been incredibly smooth, I think, or at least so far. We're seeing just in that interview again, competence is what came across the table to me, and that's what everybody wants to see. I'm really encouraged to the fact that Governor-elect Sandoval seems to be following through with the promises, going back to the 07 numbers and saying, look, we weren't living in a van down by the river in 07. I think that we can afford to go back to 07 numbers, especially as our population has dropped. So those are fantastic signs to me.
Do you think the 07 numbers are realistic?
Well, we'll see. You know, I was really encouraged by the new Senate Minority Leader's position that he's taken about everything should be on the table. And as we go forward, let's have it all on the table so we can look. I find that an encouraging position that he's taking.
Well, and the legislature, or the leaders of the legislature, have been very realistic for the last year about what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to change topics on you here talk about John Ensign. Says he'll run for re-election in 2012. He told Politico that he was not worried about how his legal problems might affect his chances. Your thoughts on that, Ms. Derby?
Well, I think they may affect his chances. I mean, we'll wait and see. I think he's banking that the public has a short memory, but we don't know what's going to come out of all these investigations that are going on around him. And I think he's been damaged by what's happened, and we'll have to see.
If somebody ran a ham sandwich against him in the primary, do you think the ham sandwich could win?
It all depends on how big the landslide is. I mean, he's unfortunately for the state, unfortunately for John, he's a dead man walking, and he cannot possibly win either a primary or a general.
You know, it's interesting. I had always thought naively that if you were in the position of a governor or a senator, that you had the ability to communicate with the press on a daily basis and get your word out there. And we saw that that's not the reality. When Governor Gibbons didn't have any money, he lost the election in the primary. Is that not going to be the same situation here?
I think that you always have the ability, whether or not you're able to actually capitalize it through your contacts or talent or anything else is a different story. But I think at some point it doesn't matter. The burdens become too great. And I think the legal burdens in Senator Ensign's case, unfortunately, I have to agree. I'm a criminal defense attorney, so I don't want to speak about an ongoing investigation.
Sure.
But I think that generally, absolutely, it's going to hurt him, and there's just once you lose that much credibility, and I think he's lost that credibility, it's going to be very, very, very difficult to come back. But it depends on what kind of ham sandwich it is. You never know.
I think DH would be the initials.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody has pronounced him dead, but you need to look at other places where people who you would think would be dead have risen from the grave, you know?
Yeah. Now, are you speaking on behalf of Shelley Berkeley when you say that?
I'm not. But look in Alaska, New York, there are a number of examples where people wrote them off, and then the people in their district decided they liked them okay, so we'll see.
The public is particularly unforgiving when someone ostensibly takes a strong moral stance, then violates that moral stance. That is one of the unforgivable sins. You can be a Charlie Rangel, perhaps, and be a tax cheat, and probably will wind up with a censure out of this, and that's all. But if you are ostensibly a conservative who espouses morality and then violate that morality, the public will not forgive.
Well, and the other thing is you look at the fundraising numbers, and that to me is what really tells the tale, is that since this has come out, he hasn't been able to raise any money. And
$18,000 in a race that will probably cost north of $10 million.
And that's exactly right. And those donations are a bet on the future, and nobody's willing to place a bet on that particular
future. In the last count, I remember who got elected without raising any money was Howard Rosenberg.
and that would be the truth. I got a quick question for you here, because we're running out of time. What's next for Rory Reid? I never saw somebody so calm and confident on election night despite losing. We certainly haven't heard the last of Rory Reid.
No, I don't think we have. And I think he's looking to, but I have to tell you, I don't know, Sam, but I think he's looking to see where he can play a public role, because he brings a lot to the table. And I think we'll hear about that in the months ahead.
Do you think perhaps CD4?
CD4 is on so many people's plates now, I would not be at all be surprised if it was on Rory's.
Do you think that's going to be another bad year then for the media in terms of advertising dollars? Don't even answer that question. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
People in Nevada are choosing Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield for their health coverage. So if you need an individual health plan, what's stopping you from joining?
With kids, I have to be prepared. Do you cover preventive care?
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a choice of plans, including those with preventive care, to help your family and your budget stay healthy.
I'll bet my personal doctor isn't in your network.
I'll bet he is. And our large network of doctors and hospitals helps you save on the cost of your care, adding more value to your coverage.
I'm self-employed. I need something simple and affordable.
No problem. Our plans are designed for different needs and budgets. Compare plans and apply online 24 hours a day. Or call us to discuss your options. Join all the people who depend on Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield for service and value.
For a free rate quote for you or your family, call 1-866-759-5029 or visit us online at anthem.com/join in.
Joe's Diner is celebrating its 10th year in business by offering new early bird specials. $1 espresso, $1 latte, $1 cappuccino, $1 mocha, $1 mimosa, plus $1 beer and $1 wine happy hour. And don't forget the $5.99 breakfast, lunch, or dinner weekday value menu. Cheddar Jack cheese omelets, burger and fries, falafel and fries, and super sloppy Joe and fries. In its 10th year, Joe's continues to be Reno's best value. Eat at Joe's, corner of South Virginia, Neal.
The verbal, emotional, and physical abuse that occurred with my daughter has forever changed her. As I read over these emails from viewers sharing with me their experiences with childhood bullying, it's clear the problem is widespread. Here at News 4, we are exploring the subject. I am committed to start the dialogue on a topic that for so long has not been openly discussed. Email me your stories at anchormom@mynews4.com. Continue to watch News 4 as we tackle this issue and begin a real dialogue.
Among the guests coming up next week on the program, Chuck Muth, Bob Cashel, Ray Bacon, and the executive editor of the Reno Gazette-Journal, Burl Love. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.